Hello, hello, everyone. This is Tom Bodrovic, host for Palisade Radio. Joining me this morning is Chris Vermeulen. Chris, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
I'm great. Before the call, we were talking about the S&P 500 and some of the safe havens in this crazy time. What are your thoughts there?
Well, yeah, the indexes are, they've had a really nice run. I mean, we've seen almost a 30% rally off the extreme lows that we saw back in March. And the last time you and I talked, S&P 500 and markets were in rally mode. We were long the equities. And 2 days ago, we ended up getting out of the equities market, the S&P 500, because we're seeing signs that there's other assets starting to outperform and starting to show signs of strength. And when that starts to happen, which those happen to be gold, utilities, precious metals and miners, and when we start to see that, we need to start trimming profits and to shift. And that's what we did. We exited the equities market and the market started to collapse yesterday and the day before. But at this point, you know, the equities market has now hit a major resistance level on the NASDAQ. It's testing a really critical level at the 2900 on the S&P 500. And the pullback we saw, I know a lot of people were panicking yesterday with a 2 or 3% correction. But when you step back and you look at the big picture, the current volatility levels, this pullback still at this point is still very bullish. It is really just a pullback and a little shakeout before it could potentially go for one more push higher. And I think the equities market could rally another 5 or 10% from here. But I think that's it. I think the market's very limited. And the fact that money is starting to rotate into the safe havens is a sign that big money is not comfortable or confident in this market at this level. And they're slowly siphoning money out of stocks and moving to the safe places.
We were speaking about an inflection point coming, you think, in the next 3 to 12 weeks. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure, yeah. So the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are having this, what I call a sucker's rally or a dead cat bounce. And, you know, it could also be called the first bear market rally. And everyone's piling in here. I mean, when I say everyone, I mean people who generally don't know much about the equities market. They don't trade. I have people calling me every day saying, you know, what should I buy? I'm buying stuff. I've got money I need to put into the market. And I mean, it really scares me when I see everyone doing this because what's happening on the chart is very similar to what we saw back in 2000 with the NASDAQ. And we're pretty much back at that stage now. And over the next 3 to 5 or 12 weeks, I think this market is going to start to become much more choppy. We're going to see it slowly grind higher. Then we're going to see a quick bout of selling like we saw so far this week. And it's going to just become a struggle to go higher. And there's going to be assets that start to climb. But this is the inflection point. So if you're a long-term investor and you've got money somewhere for long-term investing, I mean, this is the time that you really need to pay attention. Very similar back to 2015, the market was set up like this, and we're at this inflection point that in the next probably 12 weeks, we are going to be either entering a fresh new bull market in stocks or we're going to enter a brand new bear market. And it's going to get real ugly, just like we saw in the last two bear markets. There's a lot lower pricing that could be priced into these stocks from here. So we need to see where things are going to go. And based on my analysis, based on cycles and price patterns, we're anywhere from that 5 to 12 weeks out from a point where investors need to take action. They either need to move to cash or they need to move back into the market. And if they don't, I mean, if they get on the wrong side of this trade, they could be underwater for 3, 5, 10 years before we get back if we go into a bear market. So it's a really critical point. It's the difference between retiring when you're 80 or retiring when you're, you know, 55. These massive market moves are where you can save and even make a ton of money if they're played right.
So what are some of the indicators that you're going to rely on coming into this to tell you which way the market is going to go?
Well, a lot of it comes down to just straight up price action. So, I mean, we've broken significant lows on the charts, on the monthly charts. We've had huge volatility. We're seeing bonds start to really take off. Metals have been holding up very well. And it really comes down to just the overall momentum of the market. When it comes to long-term investing, you don't really it's really hard to gauge with little indicators. The big things you need are like longer term moving averages. Have support levels been broken? Where are we in the mass market psychology and the business cycle? And all those things are pointing to we're in the late stages or the late stages of a bull market or the early stages of a bear market. And so we just need to see the long-term moving averages rolling over, heading down. We're making lower lows on the charts now. So if this market starts to top out and starts to roll over and breaks those March lows, I mean, I think we're actually, I'll have a bear market signal before we break those lows. But once we break those lows, I mean, it's going to be lights out. It's going to be down another 20, 30, 40% from the March lows. And that's a long ways from where we are right now. So it's just time, big, big price patterns that just have to unfold and unwind. And that's pretty much how long-term investing goes.
Is it possible that we see another sell-off and another dip in gold and silver along with that?
I think so. I think they could get pulled down, and that's my concern. I think this is still a trader's market. I think gold will be the most immune out of everything. Even if it gets pulled down, I don't think it's going to crash hard. Just like the last big bout in March, gold pulled back pretty sharp, but it was really only 15% compared to gold miners and silver, which dropped 50, 60%. So the global traders and investors still see gold as that safe haven play, which is why it's holding up. I think this is a point here where we're going to start to see the gold, precious metals, and miners start to break out and outperform. The stock market here is going to become choppy, and there's going to be some sector needs to shine. And I think that's going to be the gold miners, precious metals. They're going to pick up speed, but they really need to break out of these recent highs and extend to the upside. The large caps look amazing. They're on the verge of breaking into a new bull market, the GDX, above 32. I mean, it should be full out multi-year bull market. But again, if the stock market does crash, we're going to see those pull back and have a pause. So I'm looking for a breakout in the metals and a run here, but it might only last that 5 to 12 weeks while the stock market is grinding higher. Once the stock market starts to roll over and sell off, I mean, really, there is no safe haven other than to be short the index or bonds you need to get into or just cash.
Recently, it was brought to my attention that gold hasn't technically broken out because it had a failed head and shoulders formation. Would you agree with this, Chris?
Which time frame would that be when you're talking the head and shoulders? Because I mean, it broke out into a bull market last year, last June, July. It broke out and took off. So
we were speaking particularly about the 1700 level that we recently reached. So very recently.
Okay, so yeah, depending how somebody was looking at it, head first, there's an inverse head and shoulders potentially there, but I mean, I don't see a head and shoulders, to be honest, not in on my charts. It depends on the time frame, maybe, but overall, gold is holding up at that 1700 level. It's the leading kind of sector right now. It's trading at higher highs, higher lows. It's holding its value really well. I think people are moving to it because they're expecting more uncertainty in the market and it's going to go higher. So in terms of gold, it really is kind of the most conservative play going forward in case there is some type of crisis catastrophe going forward. And it's been showing that leadership the whole time. It really is kind of the number one asset at this point.
Perfect. Just want to make a stronger case for where we're at and maybe dispel any misinformation that we're getting.
It is testing, a really significant level from when you look at the weekly chart. I mean, that 17 or that 1800 level, we kind of popped up and hit that level. So we're at a major resistance level on gold. But it is in a full-out bull market, and it's still a fresh bull market. And if it breaks 1,800, I mean, we're going pretty much up to 1,900, and 2,100 is my upside target that could hit fairly quickly if we can break above 1,800. So it's really close to a really nice pop and run here. And it's in a bull market. So you've got to focus on the assets that are in a bull market because they're more likely to continue to go higher than they are to reverse.
How about any targets for silver? We've seen it kind of lag as gold has kind of recovered here.
Yeah, silver's tough. I mean, it's got a really ugly chart. I mean, I like it performance-wise. I think it should do really well once it can firm up and start to break out. And to me, it really needs to break above that $19 per barrel level, or per barrel, $19 per
crude
ounce.
Crude on the mine.
Crude on the mine, yeah. And that $20 per ounce level. So it's got a long ways to go. Even, I mean, percentage-wise, just to get to the breakout level is a huge opportunity, but it's a very random chart the way silver moves. I like it. When it breaks 19 or 20, I mean, I'll be on it, ready to go, because I think it's going to have one of those explosive moves like we saw in 2010 where it went from 19 to $50 and it happened, you know, really quick. There was almost no real pullbacks. There's only one pullback in the middle of that rally, and then it went parabolic and took off. So I like silver. But at this point, I mean, my main focus in trading, especially with the newsletter, with other people's money, is that I've got to pick the most conservative trade, the one that has the least headline news for risk. It's got the least volatility. It's got the cleanest pattern, the best trend, that we want to stick with trading with the trends. And so that's kind of where I go. Silver and the gold juniors aren't there yet to meet my kind of guidelines for risk. They're still really risky. The large cap gold stocks and gold are the two areas that, if you know, you want to be conservative but get involved in the sector, those are the two places to be. It's not about making, you know, 600% return on a junior stock. For me, it sounds awesome. I've done it before, but I'm looking to just make steady returns without a significant roller coaster ride.
So as we were speaking about crude, what happened this week and why did that sell-off go to negative territory? Seems like a very historic time.
Yeah. So I was looking at the chart. I kind of have a funny story. I mean, I don't know if it's funny or not, but I was looking at the chart and I had $11 target on it for this week for the contract. And if you went, I went back in time to 2008 to the high, back when it was, you know, $148 a barrel. And then you go down to the low in 2009 and then the rally up in 2011. I used Fibonacci extensions to give me some targets and it brought me to $11 downside target. And so the market started to break down crude on Friday. It broke below a pattern and it closed below it. And so I was telling everyone the next stop is going to be like $11 or $12 a barrel. I'm like, this is what the chart is saying. And so when it was starting to break down this week, I saw it hit that $11 and I'm like, I put together a quick video and I sent it out to subscribers and I quickly posted on some site. I'm like, this is incredible. I mean, this is a 12 year pattern playing out. We're hitting a major significant low, and I push it out and I had to share it. It was just so exciting. I mean, this is like record breaking moves in oil. And then after I get it all out, I look back at the chart. I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, crude is at $1. It's at 13 cents. It's at 1 cent. And then it starts going negative. And I didn't even know what to do. I didn't even know futures could go negative. I've never seen this before. I mean, I've traded for 23 years and I've never seen anything like this. So I start to panic. Well, first, before it broke zero, when I was doing the video, I was like, okay, how do we take advantage of this? This is a parabolic sell-off. It's going to have a knee-jerk reaction. How do we take advantage of it? I called my partner, Brad, and I were looking. We're like, how do we trade this? And oil's a really tough one to trade. It's like natural gas. The ETFs are deadly. They've got contango. Even if you're right, you can still lose money on them. And then of course, when the price started to go negative, that's when I was like, okay, I don't know what the heck is going on. I think my e-signal data feed is wrong. So I quickly like retract the email to all subscribers. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I think I've got wrong data. Ignore this analysis for today. And I went back out to all the media sites that I shared this video with. And I'm like, hey, you should pull this off. I don't want you to post this data in case, you know, it could make us all look bad because I don't know what's going on with this
there
data.
Must be something wrong with my information.
Yeah. So it was this huge flurry of like all excitement. And then when it goes negative, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what's going on. And so I panicked. And this is the first time in the markets I've looked at it. And I go, I don't even know what this means. I still don't really know what it means. Like it closed negative 37 on the week. Does that mean somebody got paid $37,000 to take 1,000 barrels off somebody's hands? Like, I don't even get how that works. So, I mean, the one thing that I had was the emails flooding in, people buying these oil ETFs. And I was watching the ETFs, the volume flowing into USO and other contracts or ETFs for oil was huge. And I told subscribers, I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I have seen ETFs during extreme price action open lower like 80, 90% the next day because they pretty much break in this type of volatility. And so I kind of told everybody, I'm like, as exciting as this is, and there's got to be a way to make money, I don't know how, and it's over my head, and I'm stepping back. Let's just stay sitting here and watch. And of course, the next day, USO opened 40% lower. It ended up rebounding and recovering a good chunk of that. But I mean, when there's uncertainty like that and you don't know what to do, I mean, it's as exciting as it is. I felt like a kid in a candy store. I just couldn't find the piece of candy to buy. And we just had to like sit back. And I mean, it's still kind of equalizing. And I don't know how I want to trade it yet. And I don't know if I will, because who knows what's going to happen. I mean, and that's kind of the lesson I was trying to share with subscribers, is as exciting as it is, and there's got to be an opportunity, I don't see it, and I'm not going to touch it if I don't understand it 100%.
Yeah, just looking at the price here on Wednesday morning, it looks like it's recovered back to $11. But looking at the top oil indexes here, I'm seeing five of them still negative. It's not just West Texas that got hit to negative territory.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it works, but I think if you have the oil contract, if you let it expire in your account, you've got to take delivery. And I have a friend who works in a company where they have a company that if somebody is trading futures and doesn't, and it's not just an electric contract, it's actually a deliverable contract. If they screw up and take delivery by mistake, they don't sell it before expiry, they call this my friend's company and say, hey, I got stuck with 1,000 barrels of oil and I don't want to take delivery. I'm just a trader. Can you buy it off me? And then this company buys the oil, or sometimes they get guys stuck with gold bars. They didn't sell their gold contracts and they get stuck with gold bars. And so they'll say, hey, sure, yeah. And they obviously buy it for super cheap. They buy all these barrels or these bars of gold and take it off their hands. So it's, some people are probably making a fortune on this. It's just insane how this market is moving. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it seems hard to find some footing here.
Yeah, and I think it's going to take a while to shake out. I mean, there is no demand. I read an article there said there's 3 weeks. This was a week ago almost. They were expecting in 3 weeks all the places to store oil are going to be full, and that's the problem. Oh yeah, and so that's where I think we led to this big sell-off in crude oil is, you know, a lot of people trading the crude oil contract are just traders. And so as they get close to the month end, they start selling their contract off and they'll start focusing on trading the new front month oil. And so as crude oil started to fall, I mean, it just created this, everyone's like, well, now I need to get out. And everyone was just rushing to the door, and it just created this overexhaustion sell off to the downside, and no one wanted to take delivery. And it just, you know, everyone just panicked. It created just this absolute, the bottom fell out. So it's, and now you're thinking, well, if crude can go negative, what could happen to other assets? Can even the S&P 500 go negative if we had some crazy catastrophe? I mean, it's scary to think you can actually go backwards. And I mean, crude oil isn't worthless anymore. It's less than worthless. I mean,
it's a liability.
It's really backwards. So, I mean, if you don't understand what's going on, I'm sure a whole bunch of people do. That's great. But if you don't, I mean, you shouldn't touch this with a 10-yard stick.
Absolutely. Anything we didn't touch on, Chris?
I think that's it. I think the key takeaway here is really just the equities market is going to be, I think, topping and rolling over the next 12 weeks. It's going to be a time to focus on your long-term mutual funds and RIDEX funds and RIAs and 401ks. I mean, if we roll to a bear market, you've got to liquidate. You've got to, and hopefully maybe take advantage of some funds or ways to profit from the falling market, because it's going to be a bloodbath. And that's kind of what I cover in my investing newsletters, what to do with this major signal that's coming. And it's going to come very soon. And that's where people are going to make or break kind of their future, is this next bull or bear market. I've been through two of them. They're incredible if you're on the right side. And you hear stories of being on the wrong side, and it took people, you know, 7-8 years to recover from the last one. And so that's the key thing.
Perfect. And where can we find that newsletter, Chris?
Sure. Yeah, it's at thetechnicalinvestor.com.
Perfect. Thanks for your time today, Chris. Always appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Tom. I'll talk to you soon.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people? Hit the bid.
How violent that term could be? It actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?